Hello, beauties. You are listening to the Beauty of the Nile podcast. I'm your host, Jasmine Mobley. The Beauty of the Nile podcast is your source for wonderful skincare tips, favorite skincare solutions, amazing advice, great conversation, and fabulous beauty inspiration, specifically for women of color from the experts on skin of color. We are here to affirm and amplify the beauty of brown skin in all shades and to encourage women of color to care for and love our brown skin. We believe that skincare is healthcare and self-care. Each episode features a different guest who will be dropping dimes to help you best care for and love your brown skin. I'm excited to be here with you. Let's get started. Today, I'm here with Asia Ware. Asia is a fashion and beauty writer at New York Magazine's The Cut. She's a beauty expert and fashion enthusiast who reports on cultural news, launches, and more. In addition, she writes the column, Why Is Your Skin So Good?, a celebrity-based column that explores skin health from both a product perspective and a wellness one. Recently, she has also become a television correspondent appearing on The Tamron Hall Show. Asia, welcome to the Beauty of the Nile podcast.
Hi, Jasmine. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I know we just found out that we're like basically birthday twins. So this was obviously meant to be.
Yes. And it's Capricorn season. So right on brand.
Exactly. It's special. So I know that you are a writer at The Cut, and we were just talking before we started. So much of what I've discovered from The Cut has been through your work and your writing. Can you talk a little bit about like what have maybe been some of your favorite interviews or people that you've gotten to talk to and learn about through your work as a writer?
Yeah, of course. Well, first, thank you so much. I'm so honored that you read my work. It's always so surprising to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, people actually read what I write. But I've interviewed so many people gratefully. I think one of my absolute favorite interviews has been Kiki Palmer. She is just like such a real Black girl. Like, I feel like I'm talking to a friend when I talk to her. And then even after the first time I interviewed her, like I see her at an event and it's like, hey girl, how are you? Kiki Palmer was amazing. Winnie Harlow was absolutely amazing. Same. It was just like girl chat. Who else did I love? I mean, it was super iconic to interview Rihanna because she's Rihanna. But yes, I would have to say Kiki and Winnie, because I literally felt like I was talking to my sisters. There was, I'm trying to think. I feel like there was one more that Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish was super cool and down to earth. It was like so unexpected. And last one, Grace Jones, because she's an icon.
Okay, those are some really iconic people that you've gotten to speak to. So it's, I'm sure, hard to like cut down the list. It's probably like asking you, you know, who's your favorite child when you ask a parent that or something. Those are some really good ones. And I feel like Kiki Palmer would be a really interesting one because I know she's been very vocal and open about her struggles with acne and things like that. So I'm sure that was super interesting because she just seems like a very authentic, raw person in general.
Yeah, she really, really is.
That's awesome. And I think it's so helpful for people, you know, to see someone who looks like them, who's like such a celebrity, but really open and honest about just their life and their struggles and those sorts of things. So I think that's really great.
Yeah, agree. And I mean, for me, just as a Black woman in this position, like talking to other Black women and writing their stories always just feels like home.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think that through your work, I think you really cultivate a space that feels like home to people, right? Like it feels like you're reading something that was written by a friend that you can really trust. At least that's my perception reading your work. And I think probably a lot of people feel that way. So I think it's like you're kind of giving that back to us as well, which is awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. And I'd love to kind of talk about, I know you talk a lot about, you cover a lot of beauty, skincare, all sorts of things, but in your opinion, I'd love to hear how intertwined our perception of beauty is with our confidence. So how we feel about our beauty, relates to how confident we are, how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah, it's so funny that we're actually talking about this right now, because I was at dinner with my friend last night, and I was telling her, I was like, you know, she's like, where have you been on TikTok? You haven't been posting. I barely even see you on Instagram, and you always post. And I was like, I don't have my hair done because, you know, my birthday's coming up. I don't have my nails on. I normally have long nails. And I was like, I don't have my lashes on. And it's like, subconsciously, it was like a lack of confidence, right? Granted, I always say, like, I think a large part of my confidence comes from like working out and all these things. However, beauty and like what we deem as beauty and what's special to us in the beauty world, it's very intertwined with our confidence. And today I just tried to shift my mindset. And when I was in the gym, I took a selfie and I was like, you have no nails on, like you don't have your weave in, you don't have lashes, but like this is you in your natural beauty, you know. But it was really so interesting to have that conversation with her, because even when I looked at the timing of it, I was like, I literally stopped posting when I didn't have all of these things. And I mean, I think that could be honestly just 100% transparent. That is problematic, right? Because it's like, why don't I feel as confident like when I don't have all these things? Like, do I feel mostly like me when I have my bundles in and when I have my lashes and when I have my nails? Yes. But I think that our perception of beauty, like everyone's perception of beauty, is so different. That specific instance really made me kind of want to reevaluate things. And, you know, as a beauty writer, and I try all different things in beauty and everything. And I, you know, have a personal relationship with different people in their relationships with beauty. So it's interesting, but I think everyone's perception of their own beauty intertwines with confidence different. Like I said, I was always a person where I say like my confidence comes from working out, but it's interesting to see how like, I'm like, oh, well, maybe my confidence also comes from all these other things that I do to like upkeep my beauty. But I hope that answered your question. Oh,
yeah, it does. It's very honest. And I feel like probably a lot of people listening can relate to it. And I also really commend you for, you know, when your friend asked you that question, like really stepping back and thinking about why, because I saw the selfie you posted. I was like, oh, wow, she looks beautiful. I mean, I think you always do, but I think it's really honest, especially someone in your position, like you said, right? Where we see you glammed up, you know, we see you doing all these really glamorous things, but to be like, yeah, we all have days where we don't feel our best. And also, like you said, really looking into why, because your natural beauty is, you know, phenomenal, but you're right. Sometimes we consume so much that like, we have to look and be a certain way to be beautiful that, you know, you forget that you are beautiful. So I think that's really, really honest. So it definitely answered the question.
Okay, good. Yeah. It's interesting too, when it becomes a part of your identity. I'll never forget. I was at an editor event earlier last year, and I didn't have my nails on, which again, like I said, that's like my signature. I always have long nails on. So again, it's like a part of my identity. And the editor that was there, she was like, oh my gosh, where's your long, like pretty nails? I'm so used to seeing you with them, because again, we see each other at dinners and events and all of this daily. And it was her first time. She had never seen me with nails. And it was the first time that I realized how much it was a part of my identity.
Right.
And so, I mean, again, I think that, you know, upkeeping yourself and everything is like, for me, it's like a part of routine. And for a lot of women, it's a part of routine. But it's been interesting. I literally just took a month off, and I haven't done this since COVID, when everything was closed and I was just so used to my natural self. But going back to just always being on and always being glam, yeah, it's been interesting to get to the root of like, wow. But yeah, I got so many people responded to that selfie, and they were like, you look so pretty. And I was like, it made me realize a lot of people never just see me in like a natural, natural, natural state. I mean, a lot of times I don't wear makeup, right, but it's very rare that you don't see me with like the weave and the lashes and the nails and all the things, because I'm like missing a lash and making an appointment, like always going to get a wash and set. If I'm taking my weave out on Tuesday, I'm slapping another one in on Wednesday. And so, yeah, that it's been, interesting, like it's literally only been a week, but it's been
a journey.
Eye-opening week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really honestly, that's really honest. And I'm sure a lot of people listening are going to relate to that. And when you, I'm going to ask you like a somewhat personal question, but when you kind of realized, okay, like maybe I'm not posting as much because I don't have all my glam on or that sort of thing. When you look at yourself, you know how people were commenting like, oh, you look beautiful. Do you feel that you're beautiful without that stuff? And that it's just that you're not used to posting or going out in public? Or is it deeper than that?
I do. I mean, I do still feel like I'm beautiful. It's just, I don't know. It's just odd because I'm like, I don't normally put myself out there like that. Like the only people who see me like that all the time are people at the gym, because that's just where I go every day. Like when I look in the, don't get me wrong though. Now, before I got my eyebrows done, I was like, girl, you look crazy. But getting my, once I got my eyebrows done, I was like, okay. And also I've been wearing a hat because my hair was like insane from taking the braids out of my weave. But now I like wash my hair. I put my KAT mask in, which I love. So I like push my hair back, which I never push my hair back. And I feel like I can like really see my face. So I think I still look beautiful. It's just the fact of like, I just don't put myself really up there looking like that. I wore larger earrings than I normally wear because I was like, oh my gosh, my face is so displayed. So yeah, it's just kind of a thing of like, oh, I don't put myself out on social media.
Yeah.
Like that, which I think and my friend, her response too, she was like, you see how I be posting, and she literally like, she would have her bonnet, she would have whatever. And I was like, I know, like, she's so right. And I think TikTok is also an audience where you can do that. And I think, you know, it goes to show, like, social media just has us programmed to, like, oh, people see you, like, in a certain way. But it's like, no, honestly, like, the way my boyfriend sees me 90% of the time, I look crazy. Even when I do have my weave and lashes, my leave out be toe up. Like, I'm always missing a pinky nail because it came off in the gym, something. But a lot of people don't get to see that side of Asia. But that's, like, the real side of me. So it's had me really reevaluating things.
I really like that. And also, I relate to, like, you know, I go to the gym a lot too. I'm actually running a marathon soon. It's my first one.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm raising money for prostate cancer research. It's going to be great. But I relate to you every time you post a story about like you had New York Fashion Week, I think you posted, and you were like, I have to go to New York Fashion Week, so I'm not going to go to the gym so my hair doesn't get messed up. And I really related to that because, you know, it's really hard to like keep your looks together if you work out, right? My hairdresser is always like, the best way to keep your hair looking good is to just not exercise, right? Which is like, I think an important part of your routine and also something to like factor into what you're saying, right? In terms of looking your best and feeling your best, you probably feel your best when you work out. At least for me, it gives me a lot of like peace, but also then you're like, well, what am I going to do with this hair? You know, every day.
Yeah. Years ago when I was freelance for like the 3 months I was freelance, which was not really a freelance time, but anyways, I wrote a story about Black women having to choose between their hair and their health. And this was like probably 4 or 5 years ago. And it's still an issue. But it's real. Like even my boyfriend said to me, he was like, 'cause he rarely ever sees me wearing my hair out, and all week in the gym he's like, you look so beautiful, like I just don't understand why you don't wear your own hair. And I was like, well, you saw how stressed I was yesterday, right? I went to the gym and then I had to go to an event and I was sitting there frustrated because I'm trying to lay my hair down, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. I was like, have you ever seen me that frustrated when I have my weave in? And he was like, actually no. And I was like, yeah. And that's like the unfortunate truth. Like it's not, I wish I could wear my own hair out. Like when I get a wash and set and it's sitting like the body, everything, it looks great. And I'm like, I go to the gym once and that's over. And so unfortunately, just for my lifestyle, or even like sometimes I would just find out like, oh, you're traveling next week. I don't like, I can't deal with my hair all the time. Like when I'm traveling and other products, all the things. And so for my lifestyle, my personal lifestyle, it just doesn't work. I also permed my hair. And I mean, that's problematic to some people. But again, for me and what's personal to my lifestyle, that's what works.
Yeah. And I think that's also a really honest conversation that could honestly probably be an entire other other podcast about, you know, the struggles that we go through with our hair. But that's really every time I go get my hair done. Now, luckily, I'm far from the camera right now. But every time I go get my hair done, I'm like, what can I do to make it stay? You know, even if it's a twist out, right? Like anything, I'm like, what can I do to make it stay? And honestly, if you work out, the answer is just please don't. Like that's what my answer keeps telling me. So you're 100% right. And I'm sure everyone listening can also relate. But I love seeing your gym stories because I'm like, that's like me. That's how I feel like getting ready for work every day too.
Let's take a quick break here. Since you're listening, I want to make sure that you have access to all of the great Beauty of the Nile content. Make sure you're subscribed to the Beauty of the Nile newsletter. Of course, it's free. Just head on over to beautyofthenile.com. Enter your email to subscribe. It's super quick and easy. You can do it now. We'll be right here when you get back. Enjoy.
I'm glad you share that. It makes me feel it's someone you know. It's like a friend, right? Like someone really relatable. So it's great. Yeah,
I tell people all the time, I am literally just another Black girl. Like all the time. Like I always, always, always tell people that. I mean, yes, I have like a cool job and get to do cool things and all of this, but I'm literally no different than the next. I don't think any of us are. We're all Black women who navigate the same struggles and the same. I mean, we all, of course, have our own journeys, but like my cool experiences and this cool life like makes me no different.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just what you do, maybe not who you are, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's always grounding for me to like think about that for myself too. So I like that perspective a lot. And you kind of said it's on a similar note, but you know, what do you think or why do you think it's so important for us to be able to have Black women, other women of color as writers and editors at magazines who are really like telling us kind of what's what and talking about trends and brands? Why do you think it's so important to have that diversity like yourself?
I mean, for me, it's really important because I just think it's the media, right? We form what people think, what people buy, all of these things. And I just remember being younger and flipping through pages and not seeing myself. And I remember how that felt. I mean, even I'll make a long story short, when I knew I wanted to go into the industry, I was in high school. It was a school trip to People Magazine. We went into the fashion closet. I didn't even know that existed. I had no idea what it was. And all my classmates were like, oh my gosh, Asia, we could see you doing something like this. And I was like, yeah, like it seems cool. But when I went to school, I didn't even major in that because I was like, it doesn't seem realistic because nobody in the office looked like me. Nobody was Black. Nobody was over a size 4 or 6. Mm-hmm. And this was, we're talking like 2012, it was a decade ago, maybe 2013. And so say all that to say, when I would open those pages, I don't always see myself, right? Everything is not always relatable because you can't tell me as a white woman something that's going to work for me as a Black woman. Or, you know, I think buying things from experience is just, you know, it's all different. And so I think it's important because when you see yourself, it makes all the difference. And so I always tell people, I think of my niece, and I have a 14-year-old niece, I have a 1-year-old niece, but especially the 14-year-old, like I never want her to read her auntie's work and not see herself. I mean, whether that's like somebody I'm interviewing and I'm asking them like real raw questions, or if that's just like me talking about different products, like we as Black women, or me as a Black woman, are just being diverse, period. Like whether, you know, you're Latina, anything, you speak directly from your experience. And so you're talking to those people, right? Because all of those people out in the world exist. So if we're talking to a diverse community, we need a diverse staff. We need diverse writers. We need diverse editors, all of that. And so I think that's why it's super important. And I'm glad that the industry has grown now and there are so many diverse voices. Could there be more? Of course. But I mean, from 10 years ago, when high school Asia walked into that magazine and didn't see herself, so much to the point where I was like, oh, well, this could only be a hobby. Like, when I went to college, I didn't major in communications because, again, I didn't see myself, so I didn't think it was realistic. And I was like, I'll just be a teacher, and, like, I will just be a teacher who has nice style, and maybe I'll come out with clothes for teachers. No, kid, you're not. Like, that was my mindset because I didn't see myself. And so I think from both the consumer side, for people who read, and then also for people who want to be in the industry, it's important on both ends to have diverse people in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking about, like, you would probably be the best dressed teacher ever. That's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about that. There's a lot of teachers in my family, and I feel like they're so stylish, but I was just imagining you walking into class. And did you ever, were you ever a teacher, or did you end up not doing that and straight into magazines?
No, I changed my major by the second semester. So that didn't last long. I mean, it was actually because I was in a class, and I was in an English class, and my professor said to me, she was like, you don't want to do teaching. I was like, how are you telling me? Like, and she told me, she was like, I can read your work. And she's like, you're more of like a creative thinker, a creative writer. And this was like 17-year-old me. And I was like, okay. And, you know, I told her the story of what I wanted to do and not seeing myself and everything. And she was like, look, I have a magazine writing class. You can't take it as a freshman, but I can help you get into it your sophomore year, you know, but I don't think you should basically do this if that's not what you really want to do. And so I changed my major, and she kept her promise. I was in her magazine writing class the next year, by my sophomore year. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to work for Essence Magazine. Like, that for me, that was just like, you know, if I didn't see myself anywhere else, I was like, I can go, like, you know, where Black women are. And then by my junior year, I was an Essence Magazine college ambassador. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and so then I'm from New York, like, was always a hustler, all these things. And so for me, I was just like, my perspective shifted as I got older. I mean, I was still young, like 18, 19, but my perspective changed from, I don't see myself to, well, because I don't see myself, I'll just have to put in 10 times more work. And that's not a problem if the payoff is going to be worth it. It was, it still is. So yeah. And I still keep in contact with that professor to this day. When I was at Teen Vogue, she was in New York, and we went to coffee, and I thank her all the time because, you know, and that's why I'm also grateful I went to a HBCU, because, you know, when you have Black professors who champion you, who care about you, they genuinely want to see you win. Had I went somewhere else or just had a professor that didn't care, they wouldn't have been like, girl, this is not what you really want to do. Right. And so I'm just like always really, really, really rooted in gratitude for the journey. And she was probably a bigger part of my journey than she realizes.
That's great. I hope she listens to this, because that's a really great teacher. I'm sure you would have been a great professor or teacher too, but I think that you're educating people in a different way now. And I'm glad that, you know, you ended up on this path. So that's a really awesome story.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely do feel like a teacher sometimes when it comes to telling people about products.
Yeah. I mean, you are so educated. You have to be, because you've tried so many things, you've seen so many brands. And then, like, the special thing that you add is, like you said, your own personal experience just as Asia. And then also as a Black woman, you know, what will work for us. And I think that's what makes people come to you and trust you, because you seem like a real person, right? That people can relate to. And so in that way, you're teaching, and probably more people listen, you know, because you're so authentic. So
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about, why is your skin so good? The column that you write, I am obsessed with it. I know we were talking about it a little bit before this, but you interview a lot of different, like, celebrities, brand founders, things like that. Can you talk a little bit about, for anybody who hasn't read it yet, kind of what the column is, and then maybe what your vision is for it going forward?
Yeah, of course. So Why Is Your Skin So Good is a column on The Cut. It existed for a few years before I got there. I've always been a fan of the column. I mean, I am a skin girl. I love skincare. As if you follow me on Instagram, you know, But I've always been a fan of it. And when the opportunity arose, when the last person who was over it, when she wasn't there anymore, I was like, oh my gosh, this feels like a great opportunity to try to, you know, write the column. But anyways, the column is basically talking to people, celebrities mostly, but we have a mix of people, and we basically ask them, why is your skin so good? I mean, it sounds just how it is, but since I've started writing it, I work with Maya Allen, who I love. She's our beauty director at large. And we just spoke when she came about like wanting the column to not only focus on like, oh, I use all these serums and, you know, I use this oil and I use this, but like, no, why is your skin really so good? Like, tell me how much sleep you get. Tell me, you know, like how do you meditate? Like, how do you handle your stress? Right? Because all of these things matter. And so it's been really nice to have conversations, you know, with people like Kelly Rowland about not only how she uses a bunch of Shani Darden because she loves her and, you know, she gets her facials, but also talking to her about like taking care of her body and also talking to her about like teaching wellness to her son, and like doing affirmations with him and like talking to Pharrell's dermatologist who helped formulate his skincare line, Human Race, and not only talking to her again about using products that she helped formulate or using other products that she likes, but like also talking to her about like innovative treatments because again, she's a dermatologist. So she's on the science side of things. And so for me, yeah, it's been really nice to just tackle skin. And again, like we talked about, you know, I'm really into working out and I'm really into wellness and I'm into, you know, I'm writing what I'm grateful for in the morning and, you know, what you eat, like all of these things matter. And so for me now, it's been really nice to again ask, why is your skin really so good? You know, like, because everyone doesn't have access to all these products. Like I look at my beauty shelf every day and I'm so grateful, but like there's thousands of dollars worth of products on that. And just because my skin is good because I love using this $300 plumping essence doesn't mean A, that works for you, or B, you can afford that. So like, let's talk about other things. Let's talk about, do you get outside and take walks? You know, like, let's talk about, do you meditate? Let's talk about like how you handle your stress. And so it's been really, really, really fun to do it. And it's been really nice having these conversations. And yeah, that's kind of been my vision. We started in October. Well, I started taking over in October. We're getting ready to launch a social series for it next week with someone really, really exciting. I actually just wrapped my interview with her earlier today. Yay. So yeah. And then I, like I said, I think it's fun to not only talk about skin, but just talk about everything because our skin is our biggest organ. And just because you use a $60 moisturizer or a $600 moisturizer, that doesn't mean that's what makes your skin good. And so it's been really nice having these conversations.
Yeah, I think beauty is such a holistic thing, right? It's how you, what we talked about at the beginning, like how you feel about yourself, how you are mindful, take care of yourself, you know, what you put on in terms of ingredients, but it doesn't need to be $600, right? Like all of those things I think are great. And I really like the one with Kelly Rowland too, because I loved how she talked about her son and how all of those things, you know, those other aspects that make her a whole person are also, you know, what may present itself on the outside. So that's a really good one.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about with Beauty of the Nile. We talk a lot about loving your brown skin and sort of what that means. So I know you have a ton of beauty products and you have beautiful skin, but have you ever had skincare struggles in your life? And if so, what have they been?
Yes. I struggle with hyperpigmentation. Oh my gosh. I've never really gotten acne. There was like, I can count on one hand how many times I've gotten acne. And I specifically remember the times, and it's been like, I've had my braids in for too long, so the dirt and debris are getting into my face. Or like, I'm really, really stressed out. But thankfully, I don't really struggle with too many skin concerns. Like I said, if I get a little breakout, it'll be, besides those times, like if I get a little pimple here and there, it's because I test a lot of products, and I pick at it, which I shouldn't. But I struggle with hyperpigmentation, which I've always had hyperpigmentation. I think that before I was really into skincare, I didn't know really what it was. I remember being in like high school and my mom being like, use this Ambi on your dark spots. Like,
oh my God, Ambi.
Girl, I used to use Ambi faithfully. Like, oh my gosh, my routine now would look at me like I'm crazy.
That's like all that, like, I feel like that's like, that was the solution. Like that was all that anybody talked about was Ambi.
Yes.
Crazy. Yeah. I remember the Tam bottle like it was yesterday. That's wild.
Girl, the Tam. I remember the smell and everything. Like, I wonder if Ambi's still around. Now I'm going to look it up. Oh, it is. Look, wow, on eBay. Fade cream. That was.
No.
Yeah. So say all that to say, dark spots and hyperpigmentation have been like the one consistent skincare concern I've had. But other than that, thankfully, I don't really have any other skincare concerns, really.
That's great. That's awesome. And I know, like, probably through your job as a writer and like all the editor events that you get to go to, you get to try a lot of cool like facials or treatments or whatever. Have you gotten to try any cool treatments that have helped your hyperpigmentation?
Yeah. Honestly, the coolest treatments haven't even been for my hyperpigmentation. But I will say LED light for hyperpigmentation, I enjoy, but my coolest treatments have been, there was one, I got a facial with Adela Crown was the name of the facialist. And it was the day after the Met Gala, and she had just did Naomi Campbell's face the day before me.
Wow.
And she asked me if I was vegan, and I was like, no. why are you asking me if I'm vegan during a facial?
Hey there. While you're listening, I want to make sure you're staying connected with us on social. There's so much great content over there, too. Head on over now to @beautyofthenile to join us on Instagram and all social platforms. And join the Beauty of the Nile community Facebook group. Super quick, super easy, and totally worth it. We're excited to stay connected and continue to grow the amazing Beauty of the Nile community with you all. Enjoy!
And it was because she used a sheep placenta mask on me. Like a sheep.
Gosh.
A real life sheep. The placenta mask, and it was for, it was to increase collagen in the skin. And that was like one of the coolest treatments I have ever gotten. I also really like the HydraFacial. I got one for the first time recently, which was really good. But those were like my, I mean, it, that does help to like even the skin tone. So it can help with dark spots, but
right.
Yeah, other than that, I have like Holy Grail products I'll turn to for my hyperpigmentation, or like brands that I love. But treatment wise, I just like getting facials. Mm-hmm. But those are my two cool treatments.
That is the most wild. I have so many questions about the sheep and the placenta, but I don't even know where to begin. But that, do you feel like it worked? Like when it was whatever we're supposed to do with collagen production, did it work?
I mean, I will say the number one compliment I always get from estheticians when I go get a facial is that I have great collagen.
Oh, okay.
So
so we don't know. It may have just been you.
You know, I mean, my skin was very bouncy, and it felt great. It was the thickest, most heavy thing I've ever had on my face, ever.
I believe it. I'm going to like look that up after. I have so many questions.
Yeah. Apparently like placenta masks are becoming a thing. And I know like women, there are women who, after they have their child, they eat their placenta, they put their placenta into pills. So placenta is a thing.
Is that going to be like the next big thing?
You know, it might. It might.
Never know. I've heard crazier things. So I've definitely heard, I am not a mom yet, but I've definitely heard of people eating the placenta pills. But this is new. Sheep placenta is fascinating. I'm like very, very intrigued. I'm going to look into this later.
Yes.
Wow, that's super cool. That's far more interesting than asking. That was probably the best question I asked because I just learned that sheep placenta was a thing. Okay, so when you hear me say, love your brown skin, what does that mean to you?
Oh my gosh. For me, it really just means to love the skin that I'm in. I mean, not even just the skin on my face, but it means for me to love my body, to move through this world like I love myself, you know, to speak like I love myself, to love myself deeper than skin. Because I just think that when you love yourself, people can feel it. It exudes from, again, like it exudes when you speak, it exudes when you walk into a room. And so loving my brown skin means that. I mean, it just means loving me. It's funny hearing that because when I was in high school, my AIM name was Brown Skin Diva 3.
I love that.
So as a self-proclaimed brown skin diva, loving my brown skin literally just means loving myself.
That's great. Brown Skin Diva 03. Maybe that's the title of the episode. We're gonna be like, what?
Well, yes, Brown Skin Diva X3. You couldn't tell me anything. Like, who came up? Well, obviously, I came up with that name, but yeah, Brown Skin Diva.
That's amazing. I mean, it's like it's meant to be. It was serendipitous that you would be here and that would be the answer to your question. So I love that.
Yes.
What does being a part of the Beauty of the Nile community mean to you?
I mean, it's just amazing always. I mean, at the root of my career, my work, anything I always do, I just think it is amazing to celebrate and talk to women of color, because we come from all different walks of life, right? It's one thing I especially learned going to HBCU, like Black women, we're so diverse. We're so complex. We're so, you know, like beautifully curated and complicated at the same time. And so I just think having a community that are full of women who just love themselves, they're learning to love themselves, they're growing, you know, finding what beauty means to themselves, like that is what it means to be a part of this community to me.
I think that I love that answer. And I think you're right. One of the most enriching things to me about, doing this podcast and creating the Beauty of the Nile community is like, you're right. There's so much more. There are so many differences between women of color, so many unique things about us. But I also think we're bonded by so much, like you said, on this journey to love your brown skin, really love yourself, redefine beauty standards, and really like lift each other up. I think that's like a perfect summary. And it's probably the best part is like meeting women like you, and hearing their stories. And every time, like, no matter how I feel, every time I do a podcast, I leave feeling really great because of like guests like you. So that's a great answer.
Thank you. No, this
Yeah, of
is
course.
it's so great.
So we just talked about like stress, obviously being something that can really impact our skin and our health and all those things. And one of the things that I say all the time is that skincare is healthcare. So when you hear me say that, what does it mean to you?
Skincare, it's healthcare. I think that it's making skincare not feel like a chore. Which is a conversation I've been having a lot in my Why Is Your Skin So Good interviews. As I think that a lot of people, not even just women, a lot of people sometimes feel like skincare is a chore, like, I have to wash my face, I have to do this. And it's like, no, when you look at skincare as healthcare, as really just taking care of yourself, not just like, oh, not the vanity of it, right? Not the, oh, I have a pimple or oh, I need my skin to be porcelain smooth for this event next week. Like when you just really look at skincare as taking, like as taking care of yourself, as drinking your water, as like for me, I know when I eat a bunch of sweets, I have a sweet tooth. When I eat a bunch of sweets, it shows in my skin, right? So that goes back to like taking care of myself, what I put into my body, all of these things. Like I think skincare and healthcare, it goes hand in hand. Even I feel like my skin looks great when I sweat in the gym, which is also taking care of myself. Right. And so, yeah, for me, it literally just means taking care of yourself, however that looks to you. Right. Some people may not want to work out. So if you want to sweat the toxins out, right? Because again, your skin is your largest organ. Sit in a sauna. Mm-hmm. Like that's healthcare too. Skincare is literally just caring for your skin, however that may look for you. Whether that means I'm going to drink water as soon as I wake up, whether that means I'm going to use this supplement that helps me have great skin. Skincare doesn't, it's not linear. If for everyone, it's not just standing in front of a mirror. Should you wash your face every day? Absolutely. But that may not be how you particularly want to care for your skin. Maybe you want to eat a certain way. Maybe you want to get an hour of sunlight a day, you know, with your sunscreen, of course. But, I think that, yeah, it's not always skincare. It's just caring for your skin. Right. And that ends up, you know, caring for your health as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I think those are such great points. And, you know, like you said, a lot of it is like figuring out what is the root cause of your, whatever issues you may be having with your health or your skin, and then figuring out what for you, like you said, is really going to work for you and what's really going to address those things. Right. And it's not one size fits all, which I think is like big thing I just took away from that point. So another amazing answer. And that was actually my last question. So thank you so much for being a guest on the Beauty of the Nile podcast today. I've loved having you. I had a lot of fun talking to you. So thank you for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And for anybody who wants to stay connected with you, where can they find you on social?
Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, they're all the same. Miss Asia Malaya, MissAsiaMilia. And then you can, of course, always follow my work on The Cut. We have some really, really cool things coming this year. And yeah.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to link to all your socials in the show notes and also link to some of your articles that we talked about today in the show notes. And we're over at Beauty of the Nile on Instagram and beautyofthenile.com. Thanks.
I hope that you all enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. Asia was such a wonderful guest. I loved her reflections on what it truly means to love yourself and love your brown skin. I enjoyed hearing her talk about her journey to fashion and beauty and the people along the way who encouraged and uplifted her, her take on how skincare and wellness are intertwined, and her point of view on the idea that skincare is healthcare were awesome. I'm excited to continue to bring you amazing, empowering, enriching conversations for women of color from the experts on skin of color. This is Jasmine Mobley, and you've been listening to the Beauty of the Nile podcast. Beauty of the Nile is your source for wonderful skincare tips, favorite skincare solutions, amazing advice, great conversation, and fabulous beauty inspiration, specifically for women of color, from the experts on skin of color. Love your brown skin. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for more stellar information and a new amazing guest who will be dropping gems. You won't want to miss it. For more great content, head to beautyofthenile.com to sign up for our free newsletter and to be the first to know what's next at Beauty of the Nile. Join us on Instagram and all social channels at Beauty of the Nile. And join our Facebook group, Beauty of the Nile Community. We can't wait to connect and grow with you. Until next week, enjoy life.